News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
It's 12:15, just about everywhere in the world where it counts, right? 47 degrees in Wenatchee Town. Michael Knight. It's Friday. The week's over. The gateway to the weekend has been kicked open. That was that noise you heard. That was me giving the gate to the weekend a good kick. And it's open now. Nothing we can do. Wide open for the weekend, so get in the mood. It's Friday, and I'd like you to consider this. Many times during the week, you have to get from point A to point B. How are you going to get there? Well, you could walk. You could crawl. You could dance. You could boogie. Some of you could sprint. Many of you choose to rumba or sashay or saunter. That guy, he wants to step lively. You want to do the cakewalk or the keep on truckin' pose or the pirouette. You could bop, you could hop, you could rock, or you could simply ride by way of some form of locomotion. Oh, there are so many choices. You could make use of a vehicle able to offer mechanical assistance. And if you knew how to operate that vehicle, you could drive. You could speed, you could go airborne, you could accelerate, you could lose control, you could shift your phasers, you could put her in hyperdrive, fishtail across the lawn, burn rubber in the lot, run riot. What does that mean, you run riot? Are you running ahead of the riot? Are you running as part of the riot? Are you running hope that somebody else will do the riot? Are you running down to the store to get a riot? I'm just going to run down and get a riot, I'll be right back. You could fly by night, or use any other euphemism meant to convey motion, rebellion, attitude, and a fearless behavior. So get in your car, get in your truck, get in your vehicle, and power out of here. It's Friday. The freedom of the road is calling you to a statewide mood of four on the floor and moon hubcaps. So join us on the roadway freedom. Because New York Vinny's here, behind the wheel of the flashiest, newest, most embraceable new vehicles on sale and available for shoppers and consumers like yourself. Yeah! Let's join our guest right now. New York Vinny's on the line. Hey, Vinny. Hello there.
Mikey.
Yeah. Are you not?
What an introduction.
I know. Are you in the mood now?
I want to jump into 32 Ford and just head on down to the salt flats.
And that's a good idea. That's one of the better ideas you've had since you woke up today.
It's probably the best idea I've had since I woke up today, to be honest with you. And I've had some crazy ideas.
Well, that goes, I'm here to testify that that is true, ladies and gentlemen. He's had a few crazy ideas. And to make it even better, we've acted on them together, which I'm still apologizing for some of that.
I believe there's still people that are looking for a pair of Santa Claus pants somewhere in a dumpster in the back alleys of Seattle and hasn't been found yet.
I forgot about those. I forgot about Santa's britches. Well... Can't he get the elves to get him another pair? I mean, was it like one pair in the world? Is he like...
Well, the guy at the costume shop was upset because the costume didn't come back with the pants. Nobody could find the pants.
I would have returned the pants. I would have gladly returned the trousers, but we cannot locate them, don't you see?
Yeah, I think we had to pay like a $25 fee for the pants. It was a pants fee. I'm one of the only people in the world that ever had to pay a pants fee.
What's this extra that says they charge you $35 for, I can't make this out. Does it say pants?
Yeah, pants. Don't say it too loud. The airlines will hear it and they'll start charging you $25 to get on a plane with a pair of pants.
If those of you wearing pants will have to pay that extra charge. It's for Christmas only. I'm sure by New Year's you'll get over it. Well, Vinny, what are you driving this week? What, as you look out your window, you see a different car in your driveway every week. What are you looking at today?
I am driving this week the Toyota CHR, which is not contemporary hit radio. It's a Toyota that looks like an SUV, but it's not really an SUV. It's a smaller, kind of in that same class as the Nissan Juke and the Honda HR-V. It's a smaller, around town kind of SUV if you're looking for a car to, you know, move around town, handles well, nimbly in traffic. It's a great car. You sit up high like you're in an SUV, but it's, again, it doesn't burn the gas, the SUV. The only problem with the CHR And I think we actually talked about this once before, is it doesn't come in four-wheel drive.
What?
So it does. They're not making it in four-wheel drive. It's only two-wheel drive, front wheel. So it's a quirky, kinky little car, but yet it doesn't fulfill the promise of having that four-wheel drive. If it had that, people in places like Wenatchee and, you know, Spokane and Boise and stuff like that would buy these cars. But unfortunately, Toyota doesn't figure that that's what the market is for them.
Well, so they made two mistakes. One, no four-wheel drive. Two, they called it the CHR, which for normal people, they have no idea. But in radio terms, CHR stands for Contemporary Hit Radio, and it's a form of Top 40 that is available in every town in the world. And it would be like calling yourself the Chevrolet Top 40.
Yeah, well, funny you mention that. There is a Chevrolet Top 40.
Of course there is. Of course there is. Everything I know is wrong.
I think Chevrolet Top Kick. Top Kick 30, I think it is. But so, you're not far off, my man.
Oh, God. Everything you know is wrong in this world. Well, let's back up a bit.
The problem is these days you have to learn it twice.
I see that you're driving the Toyota, but you just got your first snow on the East Coast, so that would have been time for that four-wheel drive to kick in, unfortunately.
It would have been great, but it handles okay. And again, like I say, if you're going around town, half the people don't use the four-wheel drive, so if you're going around town, it handles well, it's spacious inside. As I said, it's quirky, so it doesn't look like everything else out there. Which I always like. I always like some kind of individuality in a sea of cars that all look the same these days. So, you know, again, if you don't need the four-wheel drive, it's a nice car to buy. If you need the four-wheel drive, you just have to watch them go by and buy a Honda or something else that has, or a Nissan that has the four-wheel drive in that class.
You know, Vinny, GM made an announcement this week that shocked a lot of people. But I saw one guy on television, I can't think of his name, it doesn't really matter. His point of view was, this shouldn't shock anybody. GM does this about every 3 years, every 4 years, every 5 years. Whenever they can get away with it, they take a big government loan, they fire half their staff, they move their stuff out of town, they make a profit, they get a tax break from the president, they get a break here, they get a break there, and then by laying off 5,000 people, they end up with more of a profit. GM has done this before, haven't they?
Well, yeah, they've done it before, but I don't agree with that they're doing this necessarily for a profit. I think this is more, I think what they're doing is very similar to what Ford did, a few months ago. We've talked about that. They cut out six cars that aren't making a lot of money for them. So in there, they will come to profit, but they're also going to hire 7 to 10,000 people. The problem is the automotive business is changing. It's not just about building cars anymore. It's about mobility. It's about Uber-type services. It's about self-driving cars. It's about all these advanced things, and these companies have to now change their philosophies and look at, okay, I'm going to go ahead and cut these cars out, take that money, and bring people in who can lead us 10 years into the future now, 15 years into the future. So that's part of what's going on here. Yeah, they're obviously trying to trim down, and I know that President Trump is mad at it because they didn't close a factory in Mexico or they didn't close a factory in somewhere else. But listen, they could be making all these cars in China or all these cars in Brazil, and they also did it in Canada too. So I think... I'm sad to see some of these cars go, but you know what? The Chevrolet Cruze is not flying out of showrooms. They got all of them you want. If you want a fleet of 100 Cruzes, you can buy one for every day of the 90 days is the season, right? Buy one for every day of every season.
You know, Vinny, your favorite GM product in the last couple of years has been the Cadillacs. You've really liked them best. Taking the trucks out of that equation and talking only about sedans, you really love the Cadillacs in terms of what they were doing, and maybe not only the price, but the design.
Yeah, no, I think the Cadillacs. I think it's sad in this way is that they're cutting out cars that GM has got right. The Cruze is a car that GM got right. It goes up against the Toyota Corolla. It goes up against, cars in that bedroom. The problem is the Korean cars, the Kias, and the Hyundais are giving you a lot more bang for the buck in that category. That's why Toyota is restyling their brand new Corolla, has a hatchback you'll see now. Mazda is restyling to kind of catch up with that, with the trend of what the Koreans are doing, and they're keeping the price points low. But yeah, the Cadillacs do. I mean, it's nothing like a Cadillac, Michael. And even the bad years with Cadillac was, it still evokes that memory of Sunday drives and going out. It's not that Cadillac is going away, but Cadillac is losing a couple of models. The CT6, which I thought was a good little car, a little crowded, but a good little car. And, that's going to go away. Chevy Impala is going to go away, too. And the Caddy XTS is going to go away. So, I mean, between those two, but Cadillac will come out strong. They're going to have a version of the Corvette in a couple of years, the mid-engine Corvette that's coming out, that'll blow everybody away. It won't be affordable for anybody, but it'll blow you away when you see the car.
Well, they've done that before with a Corvette-like animal called the Cadillac XKS or whatever they called it.
It was XLR, I think it was.
XLR, like a plug, right? Yeah, but I love that car. I love the way it looked, and of course, it was just a Corvette with a mustache, but still, it looked like a better car than some of the things that Cadillac had put out recently.
Yeah. So, and Cadillac will survive, but again, we're seeing. Listen, 70-30 is the split. They sell 70% trucks, 30% cars. These companies are getting ready to secede the car business to the foreign automakers,
and let their profits be built strictly on their truck line, because that's what people are buying anyway.
Trucks and SUVs and wagons—that's what you're seeing, man. That's what America wants right now. And until the gas goes up again into astronomical territory, it'll be like that. People don't want a lot of people, many people. Don't want small cars, even for a second car now. They're going out and buying smaller SUVs. They want utility vehicles that can haul different things. The trunk is not big enough for America anymore.
It's a good point. The trunk is never... Well, there are some big trunks that we can think about, but not many people drive a Packard anymore, so you'll never see the big trunk that I'm thinking of right now. New York Vegas...
Well, Pontiac Bonneville had one of the biggest trunks of all time.
That, remember the rear end of those Bonnevilles? It was like a city block long.
Yeah, oh yeah. Now you won't see that anymore, except in the big SUVs. The big SUVs seem to be getting much larger. Lincoln showed that down at the LA Auto Show, and I know you got a break here at some point, but when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about that.
I like Vinny. He does all the work for me. Yes, we will return right after this word with New York Vinny. We'll talk about the LA Auto Show. If you're thinking about buying a Kia, we'll try to get to that topic. Or maybe a Golf 4, the station wagon that's being touted by Volkswagen. We'll return right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ. My guest is New York Vinny. This is The Agenda.
And knowing that the holidays have finally begun.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
At 12:32 on a Friday afternoon, this is The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. Our very special guest is New York Vinny. He's on the line from the far, far-flung aspect of the East Coast, where he got his first snow this weekend. But he's not thinking about the first snow. He's thinking about that L.A. Auto Show. You going to come out? I'm going to be in L.A. in a couple days, Vin.
It's a full tilt boogie right now. If you're going to be there in a couple of days, this would be the time you'd want to go. I love the LA Auto Show. It's really kind of the first one that gets things going. You have this, and then you have the North American International Auto Show in Detroit, which is the big papa. But there were some mighty fine cars at the LA Auto Show. Mikey, I am so excited, because for years and years and years, they've been teasing and talking at Jeep has about putting out a pickup truck again. And lo and behold, they've gone back into their past and taken a name, Jeep Gladiator.
Wow.
And into the pickup truck. Unbelievably, I mean, this thing, you're not going to be able to buy one. Every Jeep enthusiast in the world, everybody that wants one of these trucks is going to be lining up paying over retail price for it. but it's a Jeep Wrangler. And then after the passenger compartment, they hang a pickup bed on it. And the top comes off. It's got a hard top and a soft top. It's got a 5-foot pickup bed. It stretches the frame out about 19 inches longer than the regular Jeep Wrangler. And it just looks, it even the windshield goes down, all the windows come off. And you have, you have them old time, like those old Jeeps you used to see. It's almost like an old army Jeep.
Yeah, no windows, no posts, right?
Right, exactly. This is, you're going to see these things all over the place. And they're going to cost, they haven't released the price on it, but I'd say that if you don't pay $50,000 for one, you got a brother in the car business.
When's the Jeep Gladiator going to be available, do you think?
I think probably late next year, or maybe even a little earlier, maybe by summer. Maybe they'll get it out by summer. A couple other interesting cars at the LA Auto Show, besides that Jeep, is the Honda Passport. That nameplate is back with a little bit of a cut down on the big Honda. So it's only a 5-passenger Honda, but it's the same as the Pilot, except it looks like they cut a little off the Pilot and put it on a Honda. And this was supposed to have great off-road capability. Hyundai has their Palisade, which is their full-size SUV. You see, we're eliminating cars. The foreign automakers are now learning how to build trucks. So all of a sudden, their truck, along with the Kia Telluride, is a 9-passenger, or 7-passenger, I should say, 9 if you got little kids. These people know how to build good cars, quality cars that take the JD Power ratings and everything like that. So I think they got pretty much a winner. Lincoln has their Aviator. And the car I like, I'm very excited about, Mikey, besides the Porsche, which I can't even afford to ask him to let me look at, is the new Mazda 3. It's a car. Mazda's still making cars. And it's a great, sharp little car that doesn't look like a lot else out there. It all-wheel drive will be in this car. It'll be in the showrooms early next year. And I still think that if you don't look at a Mazda when you're out shopping for cars, you are selling yourself short. You're not looking at some of the best cars out there. Great, great car, this Mazda 3, I believe will be. A hatchback or a four-door.
Do some of these Japanese companies entering the market have to wait until their product catches on, and can they afford to do that?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to afford. I mean, Toyota, Mazda, those companies can afford to do it. The Korean company can. Hyundai is basically what everybody's kind of waiting on is electric cars and how involved China is going to be in that. China has already sold a fleet of trucks in California. They've already sold a fleet of electric cars here in the United States. It's just waiting for the import and, duty and stuff to clear. But the Chinese are coming with their cars, and it's going to be interesting to see how President Trump reacts now, because he's going to have to decide whether he wants to upset the Chinese and put, bigger tariffs on those cars and protect cars that are made here, or he wants to let those cars in. That's a big part of what China's doing right now is the electric car industry. I think they may be ahead of us on it in some places.
And so they will come to town with a fleet of electric cars. Is it going to be all the way from an economy car on one end and a luxury car on the upper end?
Yeah. They'll probably have something that competes with the Chevrolet Bolt, which is a compact car, probably around a $40,000 price tag. They might even have, who knows with the Chinese what they'll price them, because, we've seen before that, they have products that sometimes they eat a little bit of the cost to get it into the market. But I would suspect that they'll have, go car for car with anything that we put out here. It's a developing story that needs to, that people need to pay attention to, because it's the only place where China hasn't really made a dent yet, and I believe they will quickly make a dent in the automotive industry with their cars.
And are they taking part in the LA Auto Show? Are they getting into it like everybody else?
Well, they're there with Volvo. I mean, they own Volvo already, the Geely Motor Company. So they're there with Volvo. There's a couple of other companies. I don't know that they showed anything at the auto show. I think they usually do it at one of the international auto shows, like Geneva or Germany or something like that. Or there's, you know, a Peking auto show as well, where, of course, you have the Chinese cars.
When somebody comes to town to the L.A. Auto Show with, like, the Jeep car, the Gladiator or the Honda Passport, are they thinking that if it gets a good review that they're going to push it into production earlier than maybe they would have waited if it had only gotten a warm review?
I don't know. I think these cars, once they show a car at it, you know, at the auto show, I don't know that it pushes a car into a faster production or a slower production. It may cause, if enough people criticize it, it may cause them to go back to the design drawing board and maybe make some changes on the car for what you see for, you know, from what they call a pre-production model, which are all at the auto show, to a production model. If, let's say somebody looks at the Jeep and says, you know, I think those bumpers look weird. They may go back and restyle a bumper or restyle a line in a fender or something like that and do that. But generally, no, I think that these cars are pretty well set for when they're going to be, you know, when they're going to be put out onto dealer lots and dealer showrooms.
When someone goes shopping for a car, I'm just curious about how many lots they might visit, how many brands they might test drive, how many, how far into the shopping phase they want to go. But you know, if you go to that neighborhood in the town that has auto store after auto store, lot after lot, sometimes you just get exhausted with it. Do you think there are too many cars? Do we have too many choices?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's I think in many ways, yes, we have more choices because more countries are getting involved in making cars again. You know, I mean, you know, we still have, you know, even with all the choices we have, we still don't have a lot of the stuff that's in Europe and in Asia and in Brazil. So we don't see that. There could easily be another 25 models out on the floors, and you know, it's always. It's interesting because these car companies now, see, people have changed how they buy cars. If they don't hire a consultant to help them buy a car, which I've done for some people, they go online, they research the car, they know the two or three cars that they want, and they go and they look at those two or three cars, and that's basically, they buy one of those. Nobody really goes, I don't think, much anymore out of the house or looking at cars without having at least an idea of what they're buying and having researched it or spoken to somebody like me that knows cars or even your neighbor that knows cars a little bit to find out what's good and what's bad. And then there's also one of the biggest factors is brand loyalty. If you've owned a Toyota, you might stay with a Toyota, and that's the toughest thing for the American cars over the last years is to, you know, come up with the same quality as Toyota or those cars and, you know, try to get people away from that loyalty. But if you're a Mercedes guy, you're probably going to go shop a Mercedes, except that Audi, you know, gives you something to think about in that Mercedes class.
Also, the process of shopping for a car and buying a car, if you start early in the morning, you might get done by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They draw out that process to the point where you finally say, yes, I'll take the undercoating. I don't care what it costs.
You got to be strong, Mikey. You know, it's funny. You have to know what you want. You have to know what the price is. You know, and do your research. If you do that, if you go into that showroom and you say, okay, I want the Hyundai Santa Fe Sport, which is the short one, and I want it with this, and this option. And if he's got it, he's got it. If they don't have it, then you can move on to the next place. But if you don't know what you're looking for, if you're just kind of meandering, listen, the best word in a car showroom is no. You know, you look at it, you walk back out again. And nowadays, hopefully, people don't put people in those high-pressure situations and grind them. Because if a salesman does that to you, salesperson does that to you, you should get up and walk out on them. Really, if it's a high-pressure place, and they're trying to force you into buying a car, my advice to anybody will always be, get up and leave.
In fact, that's obviously a obviously a Salesforce Vinny that's using the old school tactics they should be wary of the customer that's done all that research and comes in informed. And you don't have to put up with all the monkey business if you know what everything costs.
Right, and many dealers are doing that. I mean, again, buying a car is different today than it was years ago, where, you know, they had the room with the heat turned all the way up, and the guy had to see if he could, let me take this down the hall of my boss and see what we can do.
The guy you never see, yeah. The guy who's in the deal who you never see, you just see his handwriting.
Exactly. You know, he sits in the office and he approves or disapproves the deal. You know, you basically go in with what you want. They have what they want. You know, you negotiate it down a little bit, and that's it. But if they try to pressure you and sell you all this and that and the other thing, if a salesperson doesn't respect you, then why do business with them? If you feel dirty when you leave a car dealer, or if you feel dirty during the process, then you shouldn't do business with that car dealer. If you feel like they're giving you what you need, they're treating you with respect, especially if you're a woman and you go in to buy a car. I hear horror stories sometimes, but, you know, car dealers are getting smart. They realize in a lot of families, it's the woman who makes the ultimate decision to buy that car.
Always.
You know, the pickup truck, maybe that decision is going to put that family car, that SUV, that decision is going to mom. And mom doesn't like to be treated like crap.
Nope, you can't get back on mom's good side after you start out with that attitude. We're talking with New York Vinny about cars and trucks and anything else that crosses our mind when we come back. You want to talk about the Kia Stinger and the Golf, or should we just push on? I'm going to take a break.
Let's talk about the Kia. Yeah, I want to talk about the Stinger a little bit because I think it's a milestone car for Kia.
Beautiful. New York Vinny on the agenda. We'll be back after this. 12:45 at News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And
letter now. The AAA Travel Home for the Holidays contest, because it just don't feel like Christmas. I can't spend it with you.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Gateway to the Weekend has been kicked open. Michael Knight here on the last agenda of the week. It's Friday. I don't have to tell you that, I suppose. 12:51. Our very special guest on the line with us is New York Vinny. We've been talking about cars and trucks and sports and everything else that's on his mind. The Kia Stinger is next on your list, Kenny. Vinny, you seem to like the Kia Stinger for some reason.
Oh, yeah. What an experience. I'll tell you what. You know, you think of Kia, and of course, you think of economical cars. You think of good value for your money. You know, they've come a long way from when they came into the country. What was it? The 1990s, I guess. They're in 20 years, 22 years, something like that. What an incredible car they've manufactured with the Stinger. It's a it's a performance car. There's no doubt about it, and it's not cheap. But if you want a car that is stylish, that goes fast, that gives you great comfort inside, maybe the ultimate road trip car, the little Kia Stinger Fastback. It's a four-door, has the GT model I drove, had all-wheel drive. You can get it with rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. It has, I don't know, 270, is it? 255 horsepower. With a turbo engine, no manual transmission, but I think that may happen at some time. But it has the automatic, Kia's automatic, which is a pretty nice automatic, and it's just a solid sports car. And we have to rethink what we think about sports cars these days. This one is a sports car that you can put your kids in and take them for a ride, you know, and the ride not get boring. The car stay quick. The car handle with agility. You know, it's not a soft sedan. It's a performance car. And it's bigger than it looks in pictures. It's comfortable for big people. It has all the stuff that you know, the safety equipment that you think of, like the lane change stuff and the blind spot mirrors. And it's probably one of the most fun cars I've driven all year. And if you're in the market for something and you're going to go look at a, you know, at a BMW, you're going to go look at a, one of the Japanese cars like a Lexus or something like that. It wouldn't hurt you if you can go by a Kia dealer and take a look at this too and kind of compare what you like. I think it's the second best car, the second best buy made by Kia in terms of cars, with the first one being a K900.
Have they been making the Stinger for a while, or is this a new model?
This is a brand new model. It's just out on the street this past few months. The only problem I had with this car, Michael, to be honest with you, and people that have been around a while will remember this, is I kept singing the song, Meet the Swinger, the Polaroid Swinger.
Oh.
But I kept remember that theme?
Yes.
Years ago with that camera, that Polaroid camera?
I remember when people used to use cameras, yeah, instead of phones. I that's how old I am.
Well, I kept saying to myself, meet the Stinger, the Kia Stinger.
That's very sad. Well, I'm glad I wasn't riding along in shotgun to hear that all day. That would have killed me.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to hear that. But I drove it from New York, from here to New York and back again, and through snow, through rain, through all kinds of weather. I didn't meet Bobby McGee when I was driving it, but anyway, a well-handling, a good-handling, solid car that gives you speed, gives you agility, holds the road, gives you luxury inside, and the one I drove came in at $53,000, which is probably, somewhat negotiable. Because I don't think that many people know about the Stinger yet, but don't wait too long because I think a lot of people are going to know about the Stinger, and it's going to give the G70 Genesis, the Lexus GS, and the Audi A5 some competition, I think.
I love that. Great review. That's the way we're going to end our show today. Great to hear from you, Vinny. Merry Christmas. Have a great one. Or if you're coming out to the West Coast, we'll connect somewhere, okay?
We'll connect either way. But Mikey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody out there, and let's have a better 2019.
It's got to be better. It has to be. Statistically, it cannot be like this year.
Yeah.
Okay, Vin. Right. We love you. I'll talk to you soon. There's New York Vinny, our friend. He recommends above everything else the Kia Stinger. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.